This episode is brought to you by Oddmos Pizza in Canby. Handmade awesome pizza plus craft beer, cider, and wine delivered. Call them today at 503-266-8444.
Welcome to the Canby Now podcast.
Your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans. And its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me? A cartload of headaches for the moderators of the Canby Now Facebook group this week, as it was inundated with complaints about the statewide plastic bag ban that took effect last week. And just to be clear, the moderators of Canby Now actually don't have anything to do with the statewide plastic bag ban, nor does the Canby City Council or any local government or any of our local stores. It's a statewide plastic bag ban. Nevertheless, dozens of new threads were started, locked, and deleted this week as folks unhappy with the ban sought new and different ways to gripe about a minor inconvenience. Bags, bags, bags. I'm so tired of bags, laughed Lisa Lear, the group's longtime administrator, when asked about her week. She admitted she lost count but said it was over 25 threads that had to be locked or deleted because of inflammatory behavior or, more often, just plain repetitiveness. This included a YouTube link to a parody version of the Katy Perry song Firework, in which the word firework and most of the other lyrics were replaced with the words plastic bag. That one didn't last long. Another commenter suggested Canby Nowers post fun, creative, or funny alternatives to the now banned plastic grocery bags, and miraculously the thread did not completely devolve into nonsense and name-calling. Some of our favorite ideas: 5-gallon buckets from the Home Depot, Costco boxes, laundry baskets, extra-large parachute pants, bags that a mom made from her daughter's My Little Pony t-shirts that she had grown out of, and the one resident who said, "I'm just taking the shopping cart home with me." On the Canby Now podcast page, things were a little more restrained. We asked folks what their actual shopping experiences had been, and alas, we did not hear too many horror stories. Other than Facebook drama, it's been fine, one said, while another added, "I have reusable bags I keep in my car. Remembering to grab them is a struggle, lol. But if I do forget, I just put groceries back into the cart and bag them at the trunk. No big deal." Some have even pointed out the bright side of the ban: fewer trips between house and car. In general, the reusable bags hold a lot more and are less likely to split apart, spilling your eggs and milk all over the driveway. Amy Lindhart, one of the new owners of the Whiskey Hill store in Hubbard and a recent guest of the show, posted a photo of a canvas Safeway bag. "This bag belonged to my mom," she said. "I have three of them. She died in 2004. The bags are probably 20 years old, washable, and are still in great shape. I use them every week. This bag thing is nothing new." Not new, but it's also not surprising that the new law has had this response. After all, everybody eats, and almost everybody shops for groceries. Any change to that process, however small, is going to be amplified, simply because of the sheer number of people who have to deal with it. So, unfortunately, the angst is probably not going away anytime soon. As the old saying goes, the cat is out of the organic cotton canvas certified eco-friendly biodegradable hand-knit reusable grocery bag.
Damn, Canby, you look good for 150 years old. Our little town was officially surveyed, planted, or laid out by blocks and streets and such, and named Canby in 1870, which makes this year, and I know that this is only here because Frankie wanted me to say it, our sesquicentennial, sesquicentennial anniversary. I know I made that word up, but that's what I'm sticking with. There's a lot planned with, predictably, the Canby Heritage and Landmark Commission leading the charge. Cambie Economic Development Director Jamie Stickles said the city, working with HLC, have developed primarily plans for integrating the celebration into the city's packed agenda for spring and summer events. Kicking off the fun and festivities in March and ending with a time capsule burial ceremony at the end of Cambie's big weekend in August 2020. Carol Palmer, HLC member and project lead for the city's 150th celebration, shared some of her initial thoughts with the city council at their last meeting. Much of the early planning has been inspired by looking back at what the city did back in 1970 when they celebrated their centennial. See, I can say big words. It included a drafting of the commemorative emblem by longtime local resident and historian Gentry Cutsforth, which was later adapted into the city seal and is still used today.
That's interesting to me as a historian because looking back on 150 years ago, I think it's really obvious how the changes that took place at that time really changed the whole trajectory of the community. But it's also fun to look back at what happened 50 years ago and see how the community celebrated it and to recognize that some of that celebration actually still reverberates with us today. And that is in the form of the city seal, and I'm sure we'll uncover many other things like that as well.
The centennial emblem and city seal both contain the motto that Gentry originally suggested, Home of the Good Earth. Back when the city turned 100, they were slapping that logo on everything, according to Carol.
Those commissioners back in 1970 decided that one of the things they wanted to do was have lots of mementos. And so we had dishware. You could buy an entire set of dishes with the city emblem on it. And so there's just a few of those left. But by seeing that on that plate like that, you're looking at it as exactly as it was in 1970. It wasn't blue. The colors were gold and green. And it's really is sort of a treasure. There is one of those, if you go to the depot, you know, there's that table kind of in the entry area with the glass in it, and you look in there, you'll actually see a full set of the dishes.
The centennial celebration included numerous ceremonies, at least two parades, the crowning of a queen in court, presentation of keys to the city. Each class at Cambie Grade School designed their own city seal that was incorporated into the festivities. Swan Island Dahlia Farm developed their own commemorative bloom to mark the occasion, and there was even a visit by then-Governor Tom McCall. With how the city has grown and everything we've accomplished over the past 150 years, it certainly promises to be quite the party. We'll be doing some special historical coverage as well, right here on the Cambie Now podcast, so stay tuned. After many months of preparation, well over 1,000 hours of volunteer time and support from a generous community, the 2019 Kiwanis Cambie Food Drive and Toy Drive was able to provide holiday assistance to 360 local families, including gifts for more than 920 children. The drive serves residents who live within the boundaries of the Cambie School District and who are not receiving assistance from other holiday programs. They provide food baskets for family individuals and adults without children, as well as toys for children 0 to 18 years old. On their website, Cambie Kiwanis thanked the Clackamas County Event Center and staff, which hosts the giveaway each year, and the Cambie Rotary Club, Direct Link, Action Acres, Shimatsu, Pump Tech, and Cutsforth's Market for their generous financial donations. There were also shout-outs to Cambie Schools and the Cambie High Leadership Class in particular for organizing food drives and delivering donations to the staging area. Local Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts held drives as well, and some 50 or 60 local businesses served as drop-off locations for toys and food. The tidal wave of generous donations took a flood of volunteers to receive, sort, help ensure that they would end up in the right hands. It was quite a sight, according to the Cambie Kiwanis. They said, it was heartwarming to see families, friends, and organizations, youth and senior citizens alike, all pitching in to sort food and toys, fill the boxes and gift bags, and assist in any way we needed them. Our entire community pulled together to help its members in need. We are so proud of our community and what we were able to accomplish when we worked together. Thank you for your support.
Clackamas County is offering a free educational event this week to discuss the impacts of the prescription, drug, and opioid crisis in our communities and what each one of us can do to help. It's called Not Just Naloxone, a community workshop. We can no longer afford to treat addiction as a moral failing, said Chief Deputy Jenna Morrison of the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office. Our citizens are dying of a disease we can treat. Attendees will learn from experts on reducing the risk of dangers related to opioid abuse and experience a hands-on session on how to administer naloxone, an overdose antidote. This event will provide valuable information for community members, local businesses, local officials, law enforcement, and anyone who would like to know more about how to reduce overdose rates in Clackamas County and the broader community. The workshop will be held on Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. at Clackamas County's Development Service Building Auditorium at 150 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City. Attendees are required to register due to limited seating. Additional workshop information and registration is available on our website, cambynowpod.com. And to hear more perspectives on naloxone, addiction, and the opioid crisis, check out our recent episode, The Problem of Pain. A Malala woman was among a trio cited or arrested by the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office in a series of impaired driving crashes on New Year's Day. McKenna Nelson, 22, was the sole occupant and driver in a single vehicle crash reported at 8:20 a.m. January 1st on Southeast Beaver Creek Road in Molina. Deputies say Nelson was driving in a Ford Fusion southbound, which he veered off the road during a straight stretch, knocking over a PGE utility pole before driving off the embankment. Power lines were blocking the roadway when Malala Fire personnel arrived on the scene. Nelson was reportedly uninjured but had complaints of pain. Their investigation indicated Nelson was impaired and unable to operate a motor vehicle safely, but was believed to be under the influence of drugs, not alcohol. She was placed under arrest for driving under the influence of intoxicants and transported to Clackamas County Jail. A drug recognition expert, or DRE, evaluated Nelson later and determined she was under the influence of marijuana and a depressant. Nelson was issued a citation in lieu of custody and taken to an area hospital. Portland General Electric responded to repair the pole and power lines in order to restore power to those affected. In other January 1 collisions, a silver BMW crashed into an office building on Johnson Creek Boulevard in Happy Valley. Two male occupants reportedly left the scene, but were picked up by deputies a short distance away. The driver, Pablo Rodriguez, 26, of Portland, faces charges of reckless driving, reckless endangering, hit and run, criminal mischief, and DUII. Rodriguez's blood alcohol content allegedly was 0.12, well over the legal limit of 0.08. The building suffered some structural damage, with repair costs estimated as high as $80,000. In the third and final incident, another vehicle crashed into a building in Portland. Chelsea Amos, 44, of Sandy, reportedly drove her Hyundai Elantra through an intersection at a high rate of speed, drove off the road, through a fence, and ultimately collided with an apartment building. Only the driver was injured, though a water main was ruptured and one of the building's load-bearing walls was damaged. Amos had a German Shepherd companion animal with her at the time. The dog ran from the crash, but was picked up by some residents from the apartments. The dog did not appear to be injured and was taken to Clackamas County Canine Services. Amos was arrested for DUII, then transported to an area hospital for treatment. In sports this week, we'll start with the ladies. The Canby Cougar girls basketball team had the week off after a successful run at the West Coast Jamboree in Brentwood, California, one of the largest high school basketball tournaments in the country. The girls dropped their first game against the tournament hosts and eventual overall champion Heritage for only their second loss of the season. They won their next two against tough California competition, San Joaquin Memorial and Valencia, to win the consolation bracket. The tournament brings them to 6-2 on the season. They're ranked third in the state in the OSAA power rankings and 10th in the coaches poll for the second straight week. Just one game this week, but it won't be an easy one. On Tuesday, they hit the road for a non-league match against Sheldon, who are 9-2 and have won four straight. The boys saw their own 5-game winning streak snap Friday night at home versus visiting McNary, but they didn't go quietly. The Cougs lost a squeaker in overtime, 66-60, in a game highlighted by two outstanding juniors, McNary's Nate Meathoff and Camby's Diego Arredondo, who scored half of his team's points all by himself. Diego's heroics to force OT were the talk of the town, with an unbelievable circus shot at least 4 feet behind the three-point line. How Diego managed to get the shot off, let alone sink it, while surrounded by taller McNary defenders is a mystery that scientists are still trying to solve. Here's what it sounded like Friday night. Well, joining us on the line now to talk about that game is Camby Boys basketball head coach Craig Evans. Hey, coach.
Hey, how's it going, Tyler?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good. Been a good weekend.
Yeah, a little bit of a crazy game that happened on Friday. I want to start with the play that forced overtime, Diego Arredondo's incredible shot. Was that like out of a timeout? Did you have that play drawn up? Was it like, yeah, pass it to Diego and he'll do this crazy shot? Or like, what happened there?
No, we called timeout. We got the offensive rebound and we called a quick timeout with, I believe, 3.5 seconds left or just under 3 seconds left. I can't remember quite how much time was on the clock. And, you know, my assistant coaches and I, we put together and we were like, all right, what play do we want to run for a three? And
Diego had been hot. I mean, he had scored.
Yes, definitely.
I don't know how many at that point, but he ended the night with 30.
Yeah, at that point, I think he had 21 points.
Okay.
So we knew who we wanted to go to. It was just how to get him the ball. And we ran a little play, a screen-to-screener play. We run in a different direction, but that time we just flipped it around so that he could come off and hit the three at the top. And it ran it, and he got a little glimmer open, and he saw the shot, and it was a little fadeaway shot that he likes to shoot, and he got it off and nailed it.
Yeah, like just barely. Like, I don't even know how he could see the rim. Like we've got the clip on our Facebook page. If any listeners haven't seen it, definitely go to our Facebook page and look it up because it's just unbelievable. I mean, I think I read somewhere Damian Lillard saw it and was really jealous. Like it's just an unbelievable shot. When you saw him shoot that, did you think it was going in? Because it feels hard to believe that would go in.
You know, I always have a feeling it's going in.
Okay, you're an optimist.
Yes, I am. And Diego's a very special player, and he's very good at making those shots. We actually, in practice the next day, we ran a couple plays, and we ran a little scenario, and we were down, or it was tied, and he hit another one, almost the exact same shot. That's just Diego's game right there.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I mean, you guys had been on a 5-game winning streak. Unfortunately, did end up losing this game in overtime very closely. But overall, you know, kind of shaping into what's looking like a pretty good season. You're 6-5, league play coming up. What's kind of your outlook at this point in the season? How are things looking for you?
Things are looking good. I think these last 2 weeks have been really good for the boys. They've really come together. They've learning to play together. We have some new players that are getting significant roles on the team from last year. So they're learning to play with that, seeing what they can and cannot do and what's good for us as a team. This game was, I think we found something out that we needed to find out, and that was we can't dig ourselves a hole. You know, McNary's a good team.
Yeah.
And we got down 12 with about 3 minutes to go in the third quarter, and we fought back great. You know, I think that's one great thing about this team is they will always fight. They're never out of it. But, you know, if you're going to dig yourself that big of a hole, that it's going to drain you. And come overtime, I think our guys were just really tired.
Just gassed,
gassed at the end.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of your other standout players as well, not to take anything away from Diego and his incredible night. But it's kind of funny. Earlier that day, I was talking with one of the parents, actually, of one of your players, and we were just kind of talking about the team and how it's not really like a one-star team necessarily. You've got quite a few standout players. players that, like, maybe one has a night or maybe another has another good game the next night. And then, you know, later that night, Diego has this incredible performance. But, yeah, tell us a little bit about the team, because we haven't covered too much the individuals yet at this season.
Yeah, you know, it's one of our strengths is I've got a group of kids who they believe in each other. They believe in what they can do. You know, we've had, I believe we had three or four different high scorers in games. And then I've had a different starting lineup in most of our games. And it just depends on matchups and who's playing well at the time, who's not sick.
Sure.
That's been one big problem for us. So, and, you know, the kids are just knowing, all right, I'm going to have a turn here pretty soon. I just got to be ready and take full advantage of it.
Cool. Cool. Well, has anyone given Diego the nickname the Iceman yet or anything like that?
Nope. I don't believe he has a nickname yet.
Okay.
Or at least I have not heard it yet.
Well, the season is still young, so we'll see.
Yeah.
Coach, thanks so much for taking time out to talk to us. Congrats on the season so far, and best of luck to you on the rest. You got Sprague this Tuesday on the road, so good luck with that, and thanks again.
Thank you very much for having me. Anytime.
More than 1.2 million Americans receive internet, TV, and telephone services from community cooperatives like Direct Link. They believe that their role revolves around partnerships, whether sponsoring a local event, hosting educational classes, or investing in fiber internet technology. Direct Link is here for our community because they are a part of our community.
Beyond just working in Cambie, most of Direct Link's employees live here as well. Direct Link's investment in the local area reaches past business interests and extends into the everyday lives of neighbors, friends, and families. Visit them online at directlink.coop to learn more about their communication services and community activities. We'd like to take a minute to extend our deepest and undying gratitude to Cambie Now Plus members Angela Baker and Caroline Baluquier. We rely on your monthly contributions to continue to do this work that we love. To find out how you can become one of the coolest people in the world, one of our supporters on Patreon, visit cambienowpod.com/plus. And thank you. This summer, I was walking into the Cambie Safeway one day when I saw a guy out of the corner of my eye who made me stop dead in the parking lot. It was one of those moments where you're not sure you saw what you just saw. It looked like he was walking out of the store carrying a huge snake around his shoulders. As it turned out, that's exactly what he was doing. His name is Micah Westgate, and he has embraced his reputation as a Cambie snake guy. This summer, he and his girlfriend Sasha Pierce invited me into their home on Ivy Street and introduced me to a few from their collection of more than 20 reptiles, including a 14-foot-long reticulated python named Nonami. That is a snake.
Yes, it is.
Hey, buddy.
I got him from a girl in Beaverton.
Uh-huh.
I also got my other snake, Big Retic Nonami, from there, too.
So tell us a little bit about this guy.
He is a lavender albino motley golden child reticulated python. Is
a little bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, reticulated python's the breed, and then the rest of it, motley, golden child, are just morphs. They're genes that go along with it that give him his pretty colors.
Hmm.
But I bought him to start a breeding project.
Okay.
Because I like reticulated pythons. And, like, yeah, they can be giant snakes, but if you feed them right, it's pretty much based on how you feed them. You can feed them to make them giant, or you can feed them to keep them kind of small.
Okay.
If I want, I can keep him small, like, 12, 15 feet, or I could power feed him and try to make him 20 feet.
What do you feed him to power feed him cows?
Well, you just feed him more often. Yeah. Like, instead of feeding him one rat at a time, feed him three or four.
Oh, okay. So he eats rats.
This guy does in particular for his size.
Yeah.
When he gets a little bigger, Nonami, she could eat rabbits if she wanted. She prefers rats.
Yeah.
But she could totally eat a rabbit.
Yeah. Well, she's like 15 feet, right?
Yeah.
I feel like she could eat me.
She's pretty big. She's not even done growing yet either.
That's crazy.
Well, you were saying earlier, Micah, like, you kind of see these as, like, some people maybe think it's weird, but you see it as just a cat and a dog.
My dog or my cat. Yeah, it totally is. That's how it's always been for me. I used to take my red-tailed boas around all the time when I would go to get them for their food at Petco or sneak them into the grocery store with me when my mom told me not to bring them.
Yeah? How would you sneak a boa into a grocery store?
Let them wrap around your body under your shirt.
Yeah.
Because they just want to stay warm.
Mm-hmm.
And then there they are. Yeah. Nobody sees them until they decide to poke a head out or let their tail droop out. And then somebody notices and there's a snake.
Yeah. So tell me your story of how you first got into snakes. It sounds like it started when you were a kid.
Pretty much. I've always liked reptiles. And I guess my first reptile was a... Uromastix, and then I very quickly moved on to snakes. I got a corn snake, and then a ball python, and a couple of boa constrictors.
Mm.
And I just kind of stuck with the boas because I liked how big they got.
Mm-hmm.
I pretty much, right after high school, I went to the military for a short time, so I had to get rid of my boa that I had, but she was almost 8 feet when I had her from almost a baby. Yeah. And then from there, it was
a little while. For that, no.
You're right. Yeah. No
the
joke.
8 foot trained snake, right?
Take on the bad guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Sleeper agent. Just send her in undercover.
Yeah. And then it's just like, I don't know, it just grew from there. The bigger it got, the cooler it was. In my mind, because I know when it comes to any kind of animal, they're just like people. If you work with it long enough and you treat it nice and you give it things that make it happy, it's going to be nice to you.
Mm.
So I want something that's 30 feet long, 500 pounds, that I can run up and wrap my arms around it. Big giant snake. And
yeah.
It's really friendly. I think that would be the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. You're going to get there someday, you think?
Oh, yeah. I'm already on my way there with my snakes.
That's awesome.
I don't think any of my snakes would bite anybody as long as they were taken out of their cage properly first.
Yeah.
Just because that's where they eat. So.
Yeah. Okay. So as long as you take them out of the context where they normally eat.
Yeah. And some of them I have hook trained where you touch them on the top of their head very softly with a stick or a hook, and that tells them that it's not feeding time. And then you can mess with them while they're in their cage.
Mm, yeah.
There's a couple I'm still working with on that are still a little bit not getting it.
How many snakes do you have?
It's been a while since I counted, but I think I'm getting close to 20.
Okay. It's hard to keep track.
It is, man. It is. Because I do rescue, and so sometimes I pick new ones up, and then sometimes they're too far gone, so they get sick and they die.
Mm.
Or, like, sometimes people will want, they'll call me and they'll want a pet, and I'll adopt one out.
Okay.
I do stuff like that a lot.
Tell me about the rescue side of things. Tell me some stories about that.
Pretty much, I just, because I've noticed a lot of people, they'll buy a reptile and know nothing about it, and then they'll just either give it away or they'll try to let it go outside. Exactly.
Yeah,
and, you know, if it's invasive lucky in the species. Summertime, it might live a few months or be an invasive species.
Yeah. Or that. We found on our property one time, a huge turtle that was we researched and everything. It's an invasive species.
Probably a red ear slider. Or I something like that.
I think that is it, actually. Yeah. It has, like, yellow markings on its shell.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it was. And it was huge. That's an invasive species in our state that's come from people getting... Because it's a common pet store pet.
I've had people try to bring me those as a rescue, because if you bring them to the Humane Society or to the wildlife, they just euthanize them.
Oh.
So they'll call me and be like, hey, I have this red ear slider. I don't want it to be killed. Right. You know, will you come take it? And I have, like, gone and picked those up and found turtle homes for them that are with friends of mine.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to see an animal be euthanized either.
Turtle homes, you mean?
Like, people that have...
stomach, right?
No. If it was small enough, maybe. I don't think you could get the shell down.
No,
yeah, it's just, it's always been a passion of mine to love and help animals. So I guess that's kind of how the rescue thing started. I used to work when Walk on the Wild Side was still in Canby. I worked there for like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. I took care of their exotic cats and helped in their reptile room. And that taught me a lot about the animals that I wanted to care for. And then from there, it was just a matter of, you know, learning what are the rules and regulations and where I live and how to handle that kind of thing. And pretty much as long as you're not hurting anybody and you have a business license, there aren't that many rules and regulations. You just have to just be careful and make sure you don't hurt anybody.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I want. I want it so people don't get hurt and so the animals don't get hurt.
Sure.
So like, yeah, I started out, you know, I'd go on Craigslist and find whoever I could that was just giving animals away and go pick them up.
Yeah.
And then after a while it became like, now some people, I'll just put ads on there and some people will bring me animals. I got a couple of iguanas I got that people just dropped off at my house.
Yeah.
And then,
or like on the step, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Or I'll find
15 minutes away. Are you home?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Or I'll find an animal that I really want, like a Burmese
like
python.
They ring the doorbell and run away, and it's just like a wizard sitting.
Not quite that bad yet. Although I wouldn't blame them sometimes. Apparently, it's scary to give an animal away.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but no, I always just like taking care of them.
Yeah. Do you get weird looks around town?
Sometimes? All the time. All the time. Whenever I have animals out, I always get like some people will stop. Most of the time people are cool. They'll stop and say, "Ah, cool snake.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man."
Yeah.
And then you get the sometime people, "Oh no.
Right.
Is it going to bite me?"
Yeah.
And then very rarely you get people that almost, you know, they stroke out because, oh my goodness, it's a reptile. It's not in a cage. What are we, heathens? Like they don't know what to do with
right.
it.
Right. So uncivilized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just kind of go with it. I want to live my life. I'm only here, you know, I'm 31. Mm. How much longer do I have? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know
how many, if you do get that 30 foot snake, no, I'm just
yeah. kidding. Right. Maybe it'll put me down.
Yeah. No, I mean, so I first saw you when you were walking out of Safeway with Prometheus, I think, around your neck. And, I wasn't scared or anything. And I think snakes are cool, but like they're, you were so comfortable with the snake, you know, it didn't seem to be anything really, I mean, it was weird,
yeah.
but it didn't really seem that weird
right?
because of your level of comfort. And then the snake seemed to be, you know, perfectly fine on around your neck.
So. Yeah. That makes a big difference. I notice for people is if I have like a cool
they
demeanor.
Can smell fear.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a couple of times where the snake has started to get upset and then my demeanor changes and then all of a sudden the whole crowd gets uneasy.
Mm.
And you know, everything's chill. I'm cool, but you know, just trying to put the animal away so it doesn't get unsafe. Once in a while, you know, animals have their moments. Maybe it gets too stressed out.
Yeah.
And it gets defensive, or maybe I didn't feed it. I think it was the first weekend I had Noname. I didn't feed her quite enough, and I had her up on my shoulders, and she nipped me right here on the side of my palm.
Yeah.
And she let go right away just to let me know I'm hungry.
Bite. That's
awesome. Yeah.
Dinner time.
Took a long time to heal.
Yeah, I bet.
But that's the only time she's ever bit me or even tried to bite anybody.
She's
now she's a teddy bear.
Yeah.
You can feed her, she's going to eat you.
Yeah. right after that, she ate 6 Dumbo rats.
Oh, yeah.
Dumbo rats are as big as they come. These things are like almost a guinea pig size.
Like,
they're
yeah,
huge.
That's
I raise them back here. They're big.
I have to see those too, I think.
Yeah.
What else was I going to ask you? So you've started doing, and I think you were just talking about it, like things with students, or you do presentations and stuff with your students?
I want to get into doing that. I did that a lot with the animal rescue at Walk on the Wild Side.
Oh, okay.
I want to do that so I can teach kids about it. And when I have them come up to me out in public, I do. I educate them as much as I can if they have questions. Or I tell them a little bit about the snake if they're just, you know, kind of petting it and sitting there quietly, not too noisy. But yeah, I really want to like... I haven't tried it yet, but I want to like call up some of the schools and see if they'll, you know, have me down there, you know, to educate some of the kids on
sure
some of the animals
would.
Sometimes. I'm sure they'd love it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know the reptile man out in Malala. He's been around for like 30 years.
Yeah.
That guy's a legend.
Yeah.
He's been my inspiration.
Yeah. No, when I was trying to find the Cambi snake guy, everyone kept pointing me to Oregon Reptile Man. I'm like, no, I've met him before. This guy's different.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much him. And then a few guys that I follow on YouTube are like the big kickoff that I finally went and just bought the business license and now finally put
kinda
a name to it.
Your role model a little bit.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't personally know the guy, but I've watched what he's done with himself and then kind of learned from that, I guess.
Yeah. I don't think that he carries him around on his neck.
No.
You might look into that.
He does more of the educational side, I guess. I'm more crazy when it comes to that.
Do you have a favorite snake that you... Because I know you do different ones.
Yeah, my most favorite is Lieutenant Shiny Sides.
To carry around or just in general?
Just in general, his color.
Okay.
His color is cool.
Oh, I haven't seen him yet.
Where's he? Yeah, he's over in here. We can totally get him out. He has a little bit of a head wobble, so like it's called a wobble, and it comes with the jaguar gene that he carries.
Jaguar?
He's a jaguar tiger reticulated python.
Okay.
And his gene gives him what's called a head wobble, so like he'll look like he's kind of special needs almost. Oh yeah, you want to step back there.
Just a little bit.
Go back up.
He always comes flying out at me. Yeah, this is Lieutenant Shiny Sides. He's a jaguar tiger reticulated python, and I love his coloring. For reticulated pythons, they're not that expensive. Like, you get these guys for $1,000 online.
Yeah.
They're not that bad. But I just love his color. The jaguar is an allelic gene, so if I make babies with him, which I intend to, every baby will have the jaguar gene.
Okay.
They might not all look like tigers or have the stripe down the back, but they will all have the yellow jaguar spots, which I just absolutely love. And I guess apparently the head wobble that you see, that's his head doing that number. He doesn't know up from down neurologically. There's just the sense of direction is gone in his brain.
That's a thing that's specific to the species, or that's just
to the gene. To the gene, the jaguar gene. And for like ball pythons can get it too with the spider gene. Has it? There's a few, like also carpet pythons can have it with the jaguar gene. A few different genes for different breeds.
Yeah.
Will cause a head wobble.
So where is this species native to? Where do they come from?
Reticulated pythons are native to like Indonesia area. There's a couple of islands out there, Sulawesi, Kelatoa, I think is how you pronounce it, and a couple other places that where they're actually wild native to.
Yeah.
And I can't remember when the first jaguar retic was pulled out of the wild, but I don't even remember if it was a full grown one. I think it was might have been a baby that they just happened to see, and they thought it was like some kind of crazy special thing. But pretty much just like ball pythons, all of the genes that we have in the captivity, you know, someone found one that looked like that in the wild and brought it and sold it to a breeder and he bred it out. I think the first one to produce a jaguar was the guy Kevin down at NERD, New England Reptile Distributors. I don't know for sure, but yeah, this guy, when I first saw him, he's been my most favorite.
So how big is he?
Right now, he's like, I think when we measured him, he was like 11 feet.
Mm-hmm. Like maybe 12 or 15.
I think he might be something like that. He's real thin. I can't always get him to, like, he'll take the food, but because of his neurological thing, he can't always swallow it.
Mm.
So sometimes I'll give him like 3 rats, but he'll only swallow one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I can't always make him grow as quick as I want. But yeah, and then right below him is Noname. She's my favorite for temperament. She is just a big teddy bear. And I actually really want to get her out for you because she's also my biggest.
Okay, let's do that one.
Stay there, LT. I made this cage too.
Yeah.
It took me like a weekend and a bunch of
plywood. Most of this out in like a day.
Yeah.
And then you added the screen, I think.
And then, I waited like a week to do the screening and put the door in.
Yeah, if I could just describe this room. So this is like a storage shed for you guys?
It was, yeah. It's
filled with all manner of reptiles. This is like, I'm sure somebody's nightmare.
There she is.
Click your phobia, I've got it.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Yeah, he has a Nile monitor up there. And do you see the baby iguana?
So this, I touched her head. I just let her know that I'm not food. I just touch her and she knows. Because it's not my body temperature.
Yeah.
Pythons, if you notice the little holes in her face there that you'd think are nostrils, those are heat sensors.
Oh, okay.
So she has like FLIR vision that she sees us in.
Yeah, she has such a rich color.
Oh man, and she's pretty freshly shed. You wait till I get her out. She's so pretty. She's a Sunfire albino white face reticulated python. And the Sunfire is the pattern. It's like very, very bled out because she's albino, but when I get her out, you'll really get to see some of it. On her back. But it's supposed to be little round circles, half moon circles.
Yeah.
She's like, I love her, man. She's my favorite. As far as temperament, she's so friendly.
Yeah.
And she's just so big. But yeah, she'll sit in my car at our feet on the passenger side of the cabin and just sit there for hours, not move. she'll fall asleep.
Yeah, you guys take her to the drive-in or whatever?
All the time. We take her to Dutch Brothers. We took her to the beach a couple weeks ago.
Really?
We had her out on the beach all day.
Yeah.
She unfortunately did get mites from that, so I had to get rid of the mites. That sucked. That was a big ordeal.
From the beach?
Yeah, because like mites are like fleas for dogs. They're just everywhere outside. So yeah. Like if you're not careful, just having a snake outside could get them mites. So, I mean, I guess technically being a reptile keeper, I am kind of stupid in bringing my pets out in my front yard every day like I do, but I do it because I want to play with them and give them exercise.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, there is a chance that they could get mites when I do that. But I also know how to get rid of it, you know, really, really quickly.
Can I try and hold it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Totally.
If you guys never hear from me again, you know who killed me.
Will Frankie live or die? Find out right after a short message from our sponsors. Okay, real quick, spoiler, he's gonna live, obviously.
And people can find you on your website or just give you a call?
Yeah, they can go to findtheadvantage.com or call 266-5800, obviously 503 area code. And we love to chit-chat, and we have, you know, 8 or 9 different loan officers here in the Canby office that would love to sit down with somebody and work with them.
Cool. Thanks, Derek.
Derek Hill, NMLS number 50183, Advantage Mortgage, NMLS number 177059, Equal Housing Opportunity.
She won't bite you. I play with her and do stuff like that so that she won't hurt anybody.
It's their whole body is like a super strong muscle. Like it feels so cool.
It is. It's like one giant muscle.
Yeah.
Should we go in the house, baby?
Yeah, and you guys have this tiny little dog that looks like snake food to me. Like, what's this one's name?
No Nami.
No name.
Yeah. Come up.
Okay.
Not yet.
Well, she just knocked over the recorder. I'm going to have to charge her for that.
The kids wanted to name her like Banana or...
Yeah, she does have that really banana color.
So we had to come up with something clever really quick. So Noname it is.
So you guys have kids. How many?
We have 3.
Okay. What do they think of that?
One's hers, 2 are mine. Oh, they love the snakes. Yeah. They all have their own. My 4-year-old son has a white albino corn snake, and then my 2 daughters both have ball pythons.
Yeah.
And then they all help us with the animals. They have ferrets and bunnies.
You sent me a picture of Nonami before we met with the 2 daughters, like stretched out next to her, just sort of chilling. That was an interesting photo.
They wanted to see how big she was compared to them. That was, gosh, like 2 months ago?
Yeah.
That was a little while ago. She's grown quite a bit since. Yeah, I used to be into gaming, and I had a PlayStation 3, and I love Call of Duty, but now, like, this is me. This is what I do now. It just happened.
Well, and I mean, it's a little bit more expensive of a hobby than a video game.
Oh, I have a good $20,000 in animals here.
$20,000?
Probably.
Yeah.
She's $2,000 to $3,000.
Yeah.
Prometheus is the same. Lieutenant's like $1,000 to $1,500. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just in retics, I probably have almost $10,000.
And Call of Duty is, what, about a $60 game?
Yeah, but I mean, as far as time-wise, because really, if you know people, if you're friends with people that breed these animals, you could probably get your hands on one for really cheap or even free. Or if you looked around enough online, you could probably find one, someone giving it away for really cheap or free, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my Burmese python for $75, and to buy one of those at a show is $300 to $500.
Yeah.
Although, on the flip side of that, I traded my AR-15 for Prometheus. And, like, $400 cash.
Yeah.
He was an expensive buy.
Worth it.
Totally worth it. Oh, yeah, she's getting rocks up under her scoots. That's what she doesn't like.
That's the bottom scales?
Yeah, the long scale that goes across the snake's belly is called a scoot.
Okay.
That's the proper term for it, which actually I just found that out recently, and
yeah.
I've been a snake lover my whole life.
and we just like, this is like, I get her out and we play with her for hours.
When you say play with her, like just doing it. This, just hanging out.
Yep. I let her slither around. It gets her exercise. Cause like her cage is big enough for her. It makes her happy. But I mean, for how much I power feed her, I want to give her exercise so she doesn't just get fat.
Yeah.
She's also super intelligent. So letting her explore. Like,
reticulated pythons have like a bird like intelligence. They're really smart.
Yeah.
You could train them to do quite a few things.
Like what?
I mean, I have her stick trained. I have her trained where she knows the difference between her and I. She knows when she's going to be fed. Like, if I am bringing food even, like, around her that day, she just will know.
Yeah.
And we got her trained now that whenever we go in the car, she immediately goes down to the floorboard on the passenger side.
Yeah.
Pretty much. She doesn't like to go anywhere else in the car but the floorboard now. She's my favorite to bring around in town, though, because she's the one that really turns the most heads.
Yeah.
People get most excited when they see her. Just, I think, partially because of the yellow. And then I guess, apparently, if you don't realize that she's a snake at a distance, apparently she looks like a yellow rope. That's what I keep having people tell me. I thought she was a yellow rope.
Yeah.
I really am not sure how you could miss that. I'm going to be so sad when I can't pick her up anymore. Because, like, right now, yeah, I can hold her, but when she's full grown, she's going to weigh almost 500 pounds.
Wow. How much does she weigh now?
Probably, like, 40.
Okay.
Maybe 40.
Yeah.
If I feed her, fresh feed her, she'll probably weigh almost 50.
And you think that she'll get to 30 foot?
Maybe not 30 foot. I'll bet you she'll get at least to 25.
Okay.
My baby tiger that I've been power feeding and trying to get to grow pretty quick, that one will probably break 30 feet. But that's just because of how much I feed her and how often.
Yeah.
She's just going to grow that fast. But if you feed like a reticulated python, you get one that's a baby, you feed them like a proper sized meal once every 2 to 3 weeks instead of like once a week, they'll grow a lot slower and they won't get as big. Like a female will top out at like 15 to 18 feet.
Yeah.
Or a male will top out at like 8 to 12 feet.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, fed a lot less, but it's still a healthy diet. You don't want to starve the other. I mean, some of those guesses could be a little exaggerated. They might get a little bit bigger than that, but still you will substantially decrease the animal size.
So what are some other things that people have said that you've heard people say when you're out with the Noname or one of your other snakes?
That it's a very intimidating animal.
Yeah.
That they're surprised that I would put her around my shoulders.
Uh-huh.
But I guess for someone that's not used to seeing that all the time, that would be, it's very surprising to see somebody with a big snake on them.
Yeah. But it does feel like you guys have kind of, especially you, Mike, have kind of embraced your identity as a Cambi snake guy. Like you.
Oh, man. You I like love that. It. Yeah. I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
The more people in my mind that know me and my animals, then they'll know how much I love the animals and that I just want them to love animals, too.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah.
People just need to love animals and just respect them.
Yeah.
Treat them nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I do like snakes, but even I got to admit, I get a little intimidated when she gets close to my face like she just was
trying
to
do. It can be.
Yeah.
It can get up there with the blood pressure rises a bit.
It does. I mean, because this is like nature's, you know, perfect killing machine. Like
totally. They are.
They are.
They're really efficient in nature.
Even though I think snakes are cool, there is that part of my, like, it's in every person, you know, that remembers when these weren't pets. These were, you know, something to run away from.
Fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And some of it I think is like that. It is a pre-programmed fear.
Yeah.
We're just kind of used to seeing them in like a movies or like, not, I don't know if it's not knowing enough about them or not being exposed to them enough, but just the not having them around us, I guess, is what makes people afraid of them. The lack of exposure, unknown, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, because especially here in Cambi, the dogs and cats are a little more common, I would say.
I think the only thing that I would say that doesn't work with is the tarantulas, because I have lots of those, but they still, when they move really quick on me, it scares me and I scream like a girl.
You don't bring those around town, do you?
No, I have brought a couple of them out, like to breakfast and such. But the last couple of times I've done that, I have unfortunately lost a couple tarantulas.
Say, it'd be harder to keep track of them.
They died. The gust of wind blew one of them, and she jumped and landed on the concrete, and her abdomen split open. And then another time, I was playing with one and gonna take it outside, and same thing, pretty much a gust of wind made it run off the inside of my RV and it split open on the inside of the floor.
Yeah,
but I'll hold them in the house, but I just don't take them outside now. Most people that have tarantulas don't hold them.
Let's see if I get the sound of her moving.
Maybe. She breathes really loud too.
Yeah.
Heard that you guys are pretty famous around Canby.
Because when I had people coming up to me, as people that I haven't spoken to in years, and they're like, "Yo, this guy's looking for you." I'm like, "Yeah, all right, it's awesome."
No, it happened really fast. Yeah. So that story is that we posted on the Canby Now Facebook group looking for you because I wanted to have you on the show, and
yeah,
it was within a day or two you called me. So
that's really cool.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how long it had been up there. I have a Facebook, but I'm hardly ever on it.
Yeah.
And so someone had just messaged me a picture of that, and I was like, wow, I have to message him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks so much for doing this.
It's really cool, yeah.
I want to see the rats. Can you show me your giant rats?
Those are right here in this little blue shed.
Okay.
I just picked up 26 a week ago to start my breeding program again. So the top is a bunch of males, one male with a bunch of females, and the middle is one male with a bunch of females.
Okay, this part's way grosser to me than the snakes.
The big one on its back on the left is a Dumbo male rat. He's a full-grown one. He's like almost the size of half a football.
Yeah, my gosh.
And then the ones on the bottom are all males that I'm going to slowly feed out until I get babies that are big enough to keep growing.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the story about the woman who had a pet? I think it was a boa, and she would sleep with it. And then it stopped eating. So she took it to the vet, and she's like, you know, we have like a really good relationship. She even sleeps with me. You know, I take her out of the cage and she sleeps in the bed, and she'll just sit right next to me. But she stopped eating, and the vet said that meant that the snake was going to eat her.
Huh.
That it had like stopped eating because it was going to eat something really big.
I've heard a similar story.
I don't know if that's
an
urban legend, but like,
I've heard similar stories of something like that have gone around over the years. Yeah. I've never personally witnessed a snake trying to like actually eat a person.
Have you ever tried to sleep with?
But I mean, yeah, I have had lots of my pets sleep in my bed with me just because it's fun, man. Like it's like a cat or dog. Giant snake, wake up, hell yeah. And actually, my girlfriend already told me if it wasn't
in the bed because of the warmth.
Oh yeah, because it's warm to them. Yeah. They just want the heat.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for our little animals that we have running around, my girl already told me that we could let the snake roam free in the house.
Yeah.
But we have little animals.
Yeah.
So we're not gonna do that.
Crazy. Any socials or any website or anything?
We're working on our website, but the business is West Coast Reptile.
Okay.
And I mean, we do like birthday parties and stuff.
Cool.
We just haven't finished our website yet.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I post ads on Craigslist for like building cages.
Cool. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Man, yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, thank you, Canby Now, for making this happen.
Thank you, really. No joke. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, awesome.
I've never had anything like that. Ever.
Yeah. That's the magic of Facebook, man.
I was just talking to Sasha last night about how I really hope that maybe a couple of people will like want some cages built, or maybe just want to come see these guys and hang out. We were like the neighborhood, like all the kids in the neighborhood, when they play with our kids, all the other kids will come here because we have the animals.
Yeah. No, it's funny how polarizing it is, because I posted a picture of a snake it was just similar to the one that I saw you with. When I was looking for it, it was just like the Canby snake guy. And there was everyone from like, you know, that's so beautiful to like, how do you hide this picture? You know, like, I'm not going to come to this group ever again because it's so scary to me. So
the reactions are interesting.
Their reactions. Yeah. Yeah. Very polarizing, these snakes. So
Anyway, but I do think more people should just try it out. Just meet a snake.
At least play with one for an hour.
Play with one for just an hour or so.
Yeah.
Might change your mind. All right, well, thanks, Micah and Sasha.
Thank you.
Really happy to have you out here.
Welcome to the Can Be Now Community Board, our new segment where we'll be looking at local events that are coming up each week and announcements that you guys submit to us, really anything and everything from remembrances of loved ones and birth announcements to little Timmy winning his black belt or whatever in Taekwondo. Coming up this month, we've got a culture night at Baker Prairie Middle School. They sent us a flyer where they say, "Our world is a diverse canvas full of traditions, personalities, cultures, and people. We are all uniquely ourselves, and this is wonderful. To celebrate these beautiful uniqueness, BPMS is hosting an international culture night. It's coming up on January 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m., and we're all invited. If you are interested in participating, you can actually contact Amy Marsh at amy.marsh@k12.or.us. See if there's anything else about that. But thank you for considering sharing your beauty with the community. Sounds like a really cool event.
The Canby Heritage and Landmark Commission wants your input on preserving our community's history and its historic buildings and sites. Please take a moment to complete their short survey. Your opinion matters. The survey is available in English or Spanish. For a link, you can find the story on our website or grab a paper copy at the Canby Public Library. TMK Creamery on Dryland Road will have a classifier from the Holstein Association out at the farm on January 11th evaluating their cow celebrities. They say that this will be a very informative opportunity for people to learn about the ideals of dairy cattle phenotype. It starts at 4:30.
Okay, we got a couple of items as well from the Moms Club of Canby. Coming up on the 27th, they're going to be doing a preschool fair. They invite you and your preschool to the annual free of charge preschool fair. It's going to happen at Canby Alliance Church, which is at 900 North Juniper. You can come visit with the different local preschools in the area and see which one might be right for you and your preschooler. Even if you don't have a preschooler, feel free to stop by to learn more about the Moms Club. They do organized playgroups, fun outings to parks and museums, family activities, and much more. The Canby Public Library is also going to be attending. And more about the Moms Club, they meet on the second Friday monthly. There's an open gym on the third Thursday each month. If you have questions, you can contact them at momsclubcanby@gmail.com. To get your event announcement or community news on the Canby Now Community Board, email us today at info@canbynowpod.com. The Canby Now podcast is brought to you in part by the Wild Hair Saloon, where Canby goes to eat and have fun. Lifelong Canby residents Darren and Joan Monin founded the Wild Hair 16 years ago, and as their business has grown and expanded, they've continued to give back to the community they love. They're one of the biggest supporters of school activities, youth sports, local events, and even this podcast. They have a heart for Canby, plain and simple.
They also have some of the best food and drinks on the planet.
Did I forget to mention that? No,
it's all right. I'm going to mention it. It's no accident that residents voted them the best restaurant and best service through the Canby Area Chamber of Commerce last year. Happy hour daily from 3 to 6. Kids eat free on Mondays, live music and breakfast on the weekends. And they have great salads and other healthy options to help you keep your New Year's resolutions. Check them out just off of Highway 99E next to the Space Age in Canby at 1656 Beaver Creek Road in Oregon City or on their website, thewildhairsaloon.net.
The Canby Now podcast is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Canby by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. Find more of her work at olivia13.com.
The Canby Now podcast is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The Canby Now podcast is a production of Now Hear This Studios, Canby's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.